Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happy Friday.
What's up,
everyone? It's Let's Go There with Sheer and Ryan. And I'm not sure I'm excited because I'm just feeling good today. I'm feeling much better, or I'm feeling better because I know a weekend's coming up.
Honey, I think it's a little bit of both, to be quite honest. But honestly, I am just happy that it's the weekend.
Yes. And by the way, it is still National Mental Health Awareness Month. So please remember to continue taking care of yourself.
Yeah, because it's super important for us folks here in California, because today was the day, and I realized this morning, today was the day when we were all supposed to be out of lockdown, you know? My mental health is really triggered because we are still in lockdown.
I remember those days when they gave us a specific date. I mean, at this point, I've stopped looking. I mean, I'm looking and aware because we report about this stuff, but there's not even a point of thinking about it anymore. Just go with the flow.
I know.
Enjoy yourself.
I know. That's what I'm going to try to do this weekend, you know?
Well, here's something that will cheer you up, and it's coming up today on the show. We've got an amazing show with great guests. Cynthia Bailey from Real Housewives is coming up in about 40 minutes with her fiancé. They are just so cute. Yeah, I know you're a huge fan. And in an hour and a half, we have, this is a good one, Daniel Radcliffe and Ellie Kemper are joining us too.
Oh my God, this show is everything. And honestly, we can't hurry up and get there. Let's just jump on in.
Yeah, let's get into what's trending this hour. A magnitude 6.5 earthquake struck near Tonopah early Friday morning. That's, of course, in Las Vegas. And we want to give a shout out to everyone listening on our station, Mix 94.1 FM HD2. The U.S. Geological Survey said that it was the state's strongest quake in over 65 years. Two more aftershocks happened near there, both measuring a magnitude of 5.4. There were no immediate reports of damage or injuries in the small town of Tonopah, located about 3 hours north of Las Vegas.
So we are wanting everyone to be safe, because 6.5 earthquake, that seems very scary. I've never experienced that. Just the little small earthquakes that we've experienced, I get anxiety over. So just stay safe out there.
Exactly. It's a crazy time. Now, Trump unveiled today that the U.S. just gave the go-ahead on what he is calling a super-duper missile.
Incredible military equipment at a level that nobody's ever seen before. We have no choice. We have to do it. With the adversaries we have out there, we have, I call it the super-duper missile. And I heard the other night, 17 times faster than what they have right now. Then you take the fastest missile we have right now. You've heard Russia has 5 times, and China's working on 5 or 6 times. We have one 17 times, and it's just gotten the go-ahead. 17 times faster, if you can believe that, General. That's something, right? 17 times faster than what we have right now.
Okay, that was taken from maybe a National Lampoon movie. I mean, you can't make this up. What I want us all to do is take a shot every time he says China and Russia, please.
No, first of all, I will do that. I'm up for that challenge. It's the weekend, so why not? But then also, this is the worst thing. I feel like it just continues to fuel that he may have a brain of a toddler. Super duper missile? What is going on here?
We're also going to be talking about Operation Warp Speed, another one of my favorites, in a bit. That's his other announcement he just made. That's coming up in 30 minutes, so stay tuned for that. Now, we are not the only ones who are talking about what would happen if the president and VP got COVID-19. Kellyanne Conway weighed in with her thoughts about Nancy Pelosi becoming in charge.
I'm going to leave you and go get tested. I'm sure Hogan just did. We're tested every day because we are in frequent contact with the president and vice president. I myself are not prepared for an acting president or President Pelosi, so I'll wear a hazmat suit, you know, red and ruffled and belted, but a hazmat suit with the president and vice president if I need to avoid that unfortunate occurrence.
First of all, she tried to shade Nancy. That would be the best thing we probably ever had. So, Kellyanne, you don't know what you're talking about, ma'am.
That would be interesting to watch her being getting orders from Nancy Pelosi.
It would be a complete party shift. I mean, all those people would lose their jobs probably at this point. So, Kellyanne, we wouldn't even have to worry about her.
All right. Well, that was what's trending this hour. And don't forget, we've got Cynthia Bailey from Real Housewives joining us in the next hour. But first, coming up, the shocking statements Joe Biden made on MSNBC. Could it help or hurt him in the election, and specifically with female voters? That's next.
What would you say to them about their vote?
Well, I think they should vote their heart. And if they believe Tara Reid, they probably shouldn't vote for me. I wouldn't vote for me if I believe Tara Reid.
Wow. Well, that's one way to respond to that question. And that was Joe Biden today on MSNBC saying that if he was someone that believed his accuser, Tara Reid, he wouldn't vote for himself.
Now, I will say this shows that he's a pretty stand-up guy, but I don't know if this is going to come off as defeat. Was this really a smart move right now? I don't know. I'm kind of stressing out over just this 12-second clip.
Yeah, well, I'm interested to know what our next guest thinks. Joining us again is political commentator Jackie Coppell. Okay, Jackie, I appreciate his honesty, but why would he say this? What's his strategy here?
I think the idea is the concept of like, look, if I did it, yeah, of course you shouldn't vote for me. So henceforth, I didn't do it. Right. That's sort of the idea is he would never say, don't vote for me. So I think the logic or strategy is to say, look, I didn't do it. And he emphatically then goes on further to say, if there was something here, you would have found it. You would have heard more about it. They would have discovered more. There would be more of a there. And there just isn't. In fact, Politico came out today with an article saying they interviewed a bunch of people and they said that she spoke favorably about her time working for Biden and that she left them feeling duped, that she had sort of used them, be it landlords that she'd had or people who, you know, had been friends with her, that she had asked them for money, that money was always very tight for her, that she was always late on the rent and that she had to be evicted, et cetera.
Oh, again, gosh.
I did not conduct these interviews. This is just an article in Politico. But I think there really is, you are starting to get that sense of people are doing a little more digging and trying to find, seeing if there is a there. So this was a long way of saying, I think it's part of the strategy of Biden's to say, look, you should vote for me because nothing happened. If something did, yeah, don't vote for me. But since nothing happened, you're free to do so.
Jackie, at a time like this, do you see something growing where there's going to be this large mistrust of Biden by female voters? Because that's a really big piece of this, right? And how could women really trust him at this moment of Me Too and Time's Up and, you know, women standing up for themselves?
Yeah, I mean, it is going to be a tough call for some people, right? In the era of Me Too and believing women, I think that this, you're seeing this happened, right? A lot of the people who support Biden have come out and say, look, I trust his character. I trust who he is. I trust that, you know, what he's being accused of didn't happen. And I think it's ultimately it's up to each voter to decide what they're comfortable with. One of the things I've seen cited is that aside from this instance, and certainly we've heard, you know, Creepy Joe in the sense that, you know, he's
good old Uncle Joe.
Exactly, good old Uncle Joe. That he's gotten close, but this really is, as far as I am aware, it seems the only instance where he actually took action in this more extreme way. And as such, people are saying, look, I really don't think that's who he is. And then, quite frankly, there are some people who are going to say, well, this is one allegation, but Trump has, you know, 20 something plus allegations against him, you know, sort of who do you want to go with? And others still will say, but at the end of the day, I just want to beat Trump. So there's a vote for Biden.
We're talking to political commentator Jackie Coppell as we're reacting to this statement that Joe Biden made on MSNBC today, saying that, you know what, if you believe Tara Reid, then you shouldn't vote for him.
What would you say to them about their vote?
Well, I think they should vote their heart. And if they believe Tara Reid, they probably shouldn't vote for me. I wouldn't vote for me if I believe Tara Reid.
Now, PBS also recently interviewed 74 former staffers, 62 who were women, to see if they have ever felt uncomfortable or who have, if they've been harassed by Biden. And not one reported that they have ever felt that way. Will that help him now?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. The more people that get who get interviewed, the more people who can say that this is not a pattern, that this did not happen, it's going to bolster his credibility. Quite frankly, this will not, whether good or bad, I'm not going to make a judgment call on it, but I don't think it's going to have the ramifications that it might have if there were several women who came forward with similar allegations. And also, to be blunt, if we didn't have coronavirus, this story would be, I think, much bigger and would be getting a lot more attention than it is.
Now, that's right, interesting, right? I think with the coronavirus kind of impacting this, if it wasn't, you're saying that literally he would have been kind of done with. He would have probably lost this race.
No, not necessarily. But I think that the media attention on it would be much larger, right? So if you think about the messaging of going back to 2016, Hillary's emails, right? Her emails. It was months and months and months of the same
refrain.
And she ended up losing. And so if there were months and months and months where this was the main story, I think there could be, that could have helped lead to the downfall. Not necessarily that it would have, but it could have.
Well, Jackie's sticking around with us right now. And coming up, we're getting into the strategy to find a vaccine. It seems like that's here. And President Trump is calling it Operation Warp Speed. Could this plan actually work? That's next. President Donald Trump revealed his big plan to develop a coronavirus vaccine by the end of the year, but said the country would return to normal with or without one. And the formal announcement came today, and the effort is being called. And I'm sorry, I'm trying not to laugh when I say this, but I also feel like putting on a voice when I say this, Operation Warp Speed.
Shira, you and your frat boy humor always kills me, but it is funny. It does sound like a Power Rangers movie. And where can I sign up? I would love to be a part of this Warp Speed. It sounds pretty cool, actually.
Oh, my God. Here he is talking about it today.
I want to update you on the next stage of this momentous medical initiative. It's called Operation Warp Speed. That means big and it means fast. A massive scientific, industrial, and logistical endeavor, unlike anything our country has seen since the Manhattan Project. You really could say that nobody's seen anything like we're doing, whether it's ventilators or testing. Nobody's seen anything like we're doing now within our country since the Second World War.
Okay, Jackie Coppell is back with us. She's a political commentator. Jackie, what do you think about Operation Warp Speed or AWS? Oh, no, OWS.
Wow.
I think that we know what we all feel about it. Wow. I think it is basically pretty much all experts say that is not a timeline that is doable. That really even 12 to 18 months is aggressive. So the idea that we would have a vaccine and that vaccine would be available to everyone by the end of this year seems unlikely. Now, do we want to take, are crazy things possible? Yes. But it does feel, it feels a bit disingenuous to tell folks that there's going to be a vaccine by the end of the year when there's not. We know that Trump is very interested in reopening the economy in full. And so it's not hard to believe that he's trying to make something happen because that may sort of allay people's fears and have them say, oh, well, if we're going to have a vaccine by the end of the year, it's all good. We can start opening up. Realistically, all of the science up till now points to the fact that we will not have a vaccine for a year or more, at the very least. We may have medications and concoctions of medications that help temper the seriousness of COVID and help people recover, but we do not have a cure yet, and we certainly do not have a vaccine. even the guy who he tapped to lead it said, it is aggressive. I understand. It is an aggressive timeline. He said, I don't think it's impossible. And there are, I think there are up to like 14 different potential vaccines that are in motion just here in the States. But again, you have to balance the speed that you want it to happen mm-hmm. with the safety of the American people and with the ability to scale, right? And how do you get 300 million coronavirus vaccines made and disseminated in a way that is equitable and scalable?
Yeah, we are talking to Jackie Coppell right now, a political commentator, about Operation Warp Speed, the administration's effort to get a vaccine going. And yeah, you mentioned they're looking at all these different solutions, but do they have a plan? Like, what's the strategy that they presented in terms of the testing of all these things?
Well, strategy and plans, truth be told, have not been operating hand in hand much with the administration's response. So what we heard yesterday from Dr. Bright, who had filed a whistleblower campaign, he basically shared that there is no national strategy for testing, for the vaccine, for really anything. So today's announcement is at least some sort of federal response.
Do you think they did that because of the testimony that was happening to cover their butt?
No, this has been in motion, right? Trump has talked about wanting a vaccine, talked about having a vaccine by the end of the year. Again, I think it's, if we go with past precedent, he likes to try and will things into existence, whether they are doable or not, whether it's reality or not, right? At the beginning of this whole coronavirus, he said, this will be nothing as serious as the flu. It'll be fine. We're good. We're covered. Obviously, that's not what happened.
Well, one thing that I found to be interesting is this was the first time we're really seeing Fauci since, I believe, April 29th, since he's appeared alongside the president. And of course, you know, Trump's allies and even Trump have like rebuked a lot of his efforts and his caution for reopening the country. Do you think with all of this happening, is that going to shift? Are we still going to see people coming for Dr. Fauci at this point?
Yeah, I mean, he's become sort of the boogeyman for the right wing, right? He's now the guy that they all love to hate. But, you know, realistically, Fauci's devoted his life to helping,
managing
diseases, including HIV and AIDS. So, you know, he doesn't have a financial horse in the race. That's not what he's after. He's also an older man. It's not like he's going to have all this money that he can then, you know, go, you know, spend on, you know, sorry to be crass, but like hookers and blow. Like, that's not what he's, that's
right.
not what he's after.
Right.
So I think you'll see a lot more, you'll see people go after him because his job is to worry about the physical health of people.
Jackie Coppell, thank you so much again for being here and have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
That was Jackie Coppell at Jackie Coppell on Instagram. Well, we are moving into something different. We've got some celebs joining us right now, and this is from one of your favorite reality shows, Ryan, I know.
Yes, yes. Oh my God. So if y'all are like me and obsessed with Bravo, y'all have probably seen the first part of The Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion. It was full of all the drama. Well, next up, we have Cynthia Bailey and her fiance, Mike Hill, joining us in 10 minutes. So don't y'all go anywhere.
We're back, and we told you the show. We have a ton of amazing guests. Well, guess what? Daniel Radcliffe is joining us in 40 minutes.
All of my Harry Potter dreams are coming true.
Oh my God, I feel it. It's like Halloween. But for now, we've got some special guests here.
So we have two special guests joining us. Mm-hmm. One is a model, businesswoman, and the star of one of my favorite shows, Real Housewives of Atlanta, Cynthia Bailey. But guess what? She didn't come alone. She's here with her Emmy Award-winning journalist and her fiance, Mike Hill. They're both here. But before we go to them, I want to throw the clip to a very juicy part of the reunion from last week because it's the first virtual reunion we're ever seeing. Pretty groundbreaking. Here's that clip.
Tonight on The Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion.
For the extra women out there, honey, you're just extra bitch right in the house with our little Hennessy and Red Bull.
Here I am, fabulous and ready to slay. Get into it, girls.
When have you ever had a man on this show other than the one you and Dini were f***ing at the same time? First of all, I will never forgive you. forever speaking on my child. Do you see me? Do you hear what I am saying?
I never spoke on your child.
Yes, the f- you did.
I'm embedded in your motherfucking brain, bitch.
ATL done came out.
And you gonna keep knowing me.
Bye. Cool. What happened?
I don't see Nene anymore.
All right, y'all. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi.
You seem pretty at peace now, more at peace than the reunion special.
Yes. that it is over. You know what? I have to be honest. This was pretty epic, the Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion. This is the first virtual reunion ever. And we were really stressed out trying to figure out how we were going to make it happen. But we know the fans wanted it.
Oh,
so
for sure.
We made it happen. As a matter of fact, I made it happen right here from where we're sitting right now. This is where I was sitting when I actually did the reunion. The backdrop is a little different, but yeah, right here in the comfort of my living room.
How do you put yourself in the headspace before getting into these reunion specials? Like, do you know what's about to come?
I have no idea. I know what's about to come, but I don't know from who it's coming from and how it's going to come. And how do I prepare? A drink. I definitely had a cocktail the whole time. It's funny because Portia and I were texting each other the whole time. Portia got a little more turned up than I did, I think, with the cocktail.
The Hennessy was strong, honey.
Out of
the straw.
But definitely cocktails. I definitely, you know, I can't do it without God. Yeah, it's a long day. Mm-hmm. I started at 6 a.m. because I'm quarantining in Los Angeles. So their call time, the ladies on the East Coast, their call time was 9 a.m. So mine was 6 a.m. So I probably shot from like 6 a.m. to probably like 7 p.m. that night. It's a long day.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I had to find ways to relax her, you know, kind of get her in that mood. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
So are you taking like sex breaks?
What?
I need to take some sex breaks around here. Trust me.
Sure, her breaks ain't long enough. For that.
Like, come on. Sex label come at on this now. Point.
How are y'all doing in quarantine? Speaking of that, is the sex still going on? Are y'all getting on each other's nerves? What's happening? How are y'all handling everything?
Can't wait to get out this interview so we can go back to bed now.
Wow.
Yeah, well, we've been together for 2 years. We've been quarantined, aka imprisoned together for 3 months now. I will say, I agreed to marry Mike. I never agreed to do a prison sentence with him. A marriage, you get to go outside. Like when we're not quarantined, you know, if I get pissed off, I can go and vent to my girlfriends, go to a bar and have a drink. I can't do any of that now. Now I just have to go to the living room and get over it. You know what I'm saying?
But I'm a good cellmate because I braid her hair for her sometime. She enjoys them conjugal visits. Best believe that. You know what I mean? So she's good with that. And then when we go to the shower, she also likes, you know, what you do.
Well, you know, I don't mind dropping soap.
I'm just saying.
Cindy, you've been a housewife for 10 seasons.
Yeah.
Has there been anything that you've learned about yourself doing this show?
Yes.
And what has, how those things been?
About myself.
Yeah.
You know what? My goal was to still just be Cynthia and not turn into some monster or some horrible person that I don't want to be. But at the same time, you know, I got a little thicker skin. And, you know, there is Cynthia Bailey, but be clear, there is 50 Cent, okay? So I'm not a bully on the show. I'm not really trying to start a lot of, you know, craziness on the show with my castmates because I actually do love all my castmates. I do wish them well. But, you know, don't start and I won't be none. If I'm back into a corner, you know, I will do what I got to do.
Cynthia is as sweet as they come. She's as genuine as they come. But when you back her in the corner, best believe she ain't no punk.
Yeah.
That is for real. There's another side to fit it. Like, Nene got something right this season. There is another side to Cynthia. You don't want to see that side come out. Now, she won't bring it out herself. You got to pull it out. But when you pull it out, you want to push that right back in. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to curse.
We're still talking with, you know, my faves from Real Housewives of Atlanta, Cynthia Bailey and Mike Hill. I want to know, Cynthia, there have been all these rumors that you have been fired. You are not coming back. You're being replaced by Phaedra. Girl, if you don't spill this tea right now and give me a little something.
He's going to come through the Zoom.
I need to know.
Let me spill the tea. To my knowledge, I have not had anyone from, I have a great relationship with Bravo. I've been on the show for 10 years now and truly original. I think if I was fired or replaced or demoted or whatever the hell they are saying out there, I think that they think enough of me to actually call me and let me know. They call me about everything else. So I don't know why they wouldn't call me and let me know that. And I don't know what next season's going to be. I would love to be a part of next season, but I don't pick the cast and run the show. All I can tell you is this has been an amazing journey. I am very, very happy to be a part of the Bravo family and truly original. Shout out to them. I feel like at the end of the day, when my time is up, it's up.
Well, thank you, y'all, for, one, joining us on the show today. Y'all are absolutely amazing.
Yeah, this has been fun.
This has been a good break. You stay tuned for part two of Real Housewives of Atlanta's virtual reunion coming this Sunday.
It's going to be off the chain.
All right. I'm going to hold you to that, honey.
Thanks again to Cynthia Bailey and Mike Hill for joining us. They are goals.
I had the best time with them, and it is only the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, we have the full interview on our site, wearechannelq.com. But a reminder, coming up in 30 minutes from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, we've got Daniel Radcliffe and Ellie Kemper joining us.
Oh my God, I think I'm about to start crying.
Plus, apparently there's a mask that can detect COVID-19. Yeah, you heard me. All the details next on What's Trending This Hour. We are back, and let me just tell you, it was so great having Cynthia and her fiance on. They are just so cute.
I know, and they were really affectionate with each other, like kissing and stuff. It made me very jealous.
And talking about their sex life constantly.
I know, right? But here's the thing, you know, I've seen Mike on the show, but he is very attractive in person. Like, we Zoomed with him, and I was like, wow, he is a delicious man. But y'all, check out part two of the reunion. It's coming out this Sunday. Cynthia said it's going to be everything. And of course, check out the full interview on our site, wearechannelq.com.
Yes, plus again, we've got Daniel Radcliffe and Ellie Kemper joining us in 30 minutes. Let's just jump into what's trending this hour right now. Now, the Los Angeles County Department of Medical Examiner Coroner released autopsy reports for victims of the helicopter crash that killed Kobe Bryant, his 13-year-old daughter Gianna Bryant, and seven others in Calabasas, California on January 26th. On January 28th, the cause of death for all nine deceased was certified as blunt trauma. The manner of death was certified as an accident. So there you have it. Those are the autopsy reports finally out. All right, that's a pretty big story we've all been waiting for, but let's move on. And this is pretty interesting. A bioengineering team from Harvard and MIT, they're designing a face mask that glows when it comes in contact with coronavirus.
You know what? Now, I need to find a man over at Harvard and MIT because they over there are innovative, and I just find that very sexy.
I know. I mean, I want one of these, and I can see all the people from Burning Man wanting one of these also for practical reasons and for just fun reasons.
I hate that. Let it be for practical reasons, please, not fun.
The researchers actually developed in 2014 a similar mask with sensors that could detect Ebola virus under specific conditions. And in 2016, reworked it for the Zika virus. So it seems like this could work for COVID as well. And I'm sure a lot of people will be putting that to use if they can figure it out.
And now, I'm sure that it's going to cost a ton of money. So be able to afford that.
I know who can pay for it. Jeff Bezos, he's going to be a trillionaire soon.
That part.
Yeah. Now, Wuhan has started to test all of its 11 million residents. This whole plan is pretty wild. They're doing this within 10 days as the rest of the country prepares to reopen all entertainment facilities, despite rising fears of a second outbreak. Meanwhile, Chinese authorities published guidelines yesterday to encourage theaters, internet cafes, and other facilities to welcome customers again. Because guess what? They've been closed for nearly 4 months. 3 million Wuhan citizens have been tested before the crazy plan was announced. So Chinese media is reporting that this means that Wuhan needs to screen approximately 800,000 people per day to figure this out.
I mean, do they have enough room over there to test that many people? Like, that's a lot of people, like, over a course of a time. Like, that sounds a lot.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this goes down. And hopefully they're honest about the results, because that will set the tone for the rest of the world, really. Now, trucking industry protesters disrupted a press briefing in the White House Rose Garden today by honking their horns. And earlier this month, the Washington Post reported that a bunch of trucks in D.C. also blasted their horns to protest against low shipping rates, which truckers say threaten their livelihoods. But it seems like Trump is taking it as a message of love and support.
America's blessed to have the most brilliant, talented doctors and researchers anywhere in the world. We took over very, very empty cupboards. I say medically, we also had empty cupboards in a military sense. Our military was in sad shape. It was depleted. We now have the strongest military the United States has ever had by far and the best equipment. And you hear that outside, that beautiful sound. Those are truckers that are with us all the way. They're protesting in favor of President Trump as opposed to against. There's hundreds of trucks out there. And that's the sign of love, not the sign of your typical protest. So I want to thank our great truckers.
Okay.
You know, I have to say this, Shira. Trump is very talented at, like, spinning a story. Like, yes, he is totally a PR god.
It's actually pretty impressive in the worst way possible. Okay, that was what's trending this hour. And coming up, we have our WTF News Roundup. And, of course, Ellie Kemper and Daniel Radcliffe joining us in about 15 minutes. So don't go anywhere.
That's all.
Well, you shouldn't be here. You fake news. You stopped airing the Trump briefings, and you keep airing Cuomo briefings. Go home, you fake news. Go home.
You're destroying.
We know about your liberal agenda. We know you want to keep your job. We get it. You're not getting advertiser dollars in right now.
You're not going to answer, so you're just going to go live.
Yes, I am getting a paycheck.
I'm very happy, but other people are not getting paychecks, and they're not getting.
That's why we're here.
Tell the truth, Kevin. Come on.
Fake news is not essential. Fake news is not essential.
We are getting into our WTF News Roundup, and that clip you just heard was captured by Kevin Vesey, who's a local news reporter in Suffolk County. And I mean, it was just really hard to watch that. I was just like, all I felt was negativity, a ton of anger. He was just capturing this pro-Trump, anti-stay-at-home protest in Suffolk County. And like, these protesters, they could have just continued doing their thing, but they had to drag this guy down, literally, and in front of their kids. It's just hard to watch.
Yeah, girl. If I was in that position, I probably wouldn't even be there because I would be afraid for my life. And that's just very scary. But to know that these people are really out here thinking they're protesting something, you're protesting what, people's lives and people wanting to be safe? Like, it makes no sense. What are they really doing here?
And also, yeah, giving him the middle finger, verbal attacks. I just don't think that helps the scenario. And screaming fake news. I don't know what the point, like what they're trying to do here, like, and if it's going to make a difference and why they think it's okay to do that to an individual. It doesn't help anyone.
It doesn't. Can we just move on? I think it's time to go into some
other
news. We've
got some more WTF news stories, but these ones are more fun. Okay, let's get into it. A clone machine that allows video chatters to sneak away unnoticed. This was created by Coors Light. They're calling it the Coors Light clone machine. Very cute marketing tactic here. It creates a 30-second video loop of the user that can then be activated during a video chat to give you just enough time to sneak in a trip to the fridge for a cold beer. Pretty smart.
I mean, yeah, but I'm not sneaking away for no beer. I'm sneaking away to put some Jameson in my cup. I'm doing the full-on whiskey, the bourbon, all of that stuff. Who's drinking beer? And who's creating this 30-second video loop just for a beer? That is awful.
I mean, just put in whatever into, like, that gap. If you want to just, like, sneak out for a trip to do anything, a snack, go to the bathroom, maybe need a coffee, maybe need
a quickie.
Yeah, quickie, just like, it's like Mad Libs, just like fill in the gap right there. So this is useful for a lot. They said the video loop can be saved from the website, the Coors website, and set as your background in a variety of video chatting apps. Very cute stuff from Coors Light there.
I wonder, does it have branding on it though? So if it has like Coors Light in the background.
Hopefully like, not, or else that would kind of ruin it.
Right, that's what I'm like, why would I do that? And who's that much of a Coors Light fan anyway?
They have them out there. I've seen those pictures, like needing more beer.
I bet you
like
have.
Old, like, well, you know, like on, there's been viral pictures of like a grandmother who needed more beer.
Okay. I didn't know grannies were getting turnt like that. Okay.
Oh yeah. They need some fun right now. So let's move on to Hong Kong. This is strange. They have an ice cream shop that is now offering tear gas ice cream.
Yeah, so my ancestors are triggered right now.
Right.
You know, anything with tear gas, I don't even want to move forward.
Who came up with this? The ingredients are black peppercorns, which is a reminder of the pungent, peppery rounds fired by police on the streets of the semi-autonomous Chinese city. This is what they wrote during months of demonstrations last year. This is obviously making a statement.
This is problematic. Like, this is what, I mean, that's what that is.
Who wants to eat tear gas ice cream?
I don't
We're
know.
No feeling one in, bad about life right now.
I don't know. No one in Hong Kong wants to do that.
It tastes like tear gas. It feels difficult to breathe at first. It's really pungent and irritating. This was from a customer who experienced this new flavor. Wow. All right. Finally, moving on to the Sun, as if 2020 couldn't get any worse. The Sun is entering a period of lockdown. This lockdown could cause freezing weather, earthquakes, and famine. I mean, the apocalypse is here, folks. It's currently in a period of solar minimum, meaning activity on its surface has fallen dramatically. And experts believe we are about to enter the deepest period of sunshine recession ever recorded, as sunspots have virtually disappeared.
Well, at least we know that there's multiple recessions about to happen. Also, I like to kind of sit in the dark, to be honest. I love a dark, like, my room is pitch black. I actually really enjoy this, so I'm not mad at it. You know, I think it's, what's that place? Is it Alaska, where it's mostly dark there all the time?
No, yeah, they have seasons that it's really dark and then really light, so it messes with everything.
I like that. I mean, come
on. Yeah, you're strange.
I really enjoy it.
I don't think you represent a lot of people, but man, if this doesn't say something like everything's falling apart, I don't know what does. And that does it for our WTF News Roundup today. Now, we are less than 10 minutes away from having Daniel Radcliffe himself on the show. He's talking all about his quarantine and his new Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt special on Netflix. You're listening to Let's Go There on the new Channel Q. Okay, it is that time, you guys. We've got Daniel Radcliffe joining us. What a way to end the week.
I mean, Friday, we bought it, honey. It's star-studded over here. Let's Go There.
Well, let's give you some context as to how we got this interview. You might be wondering, Let's Go There. Wow, they're really booking those stars. Well, everyone does these press junkets, you know, all the films and the studios. And typically these junkets, you interview the stars in a hotel. But because of all these stay-at-home orders and the quarantine, Netflix decided to do a virtual junket. Like, I've never been part of something like this. So it's really fascinating how this all goes down. So we basically spoke to Daniel virtually. Right? Like over Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be wondering why. He's not promoting Harry Potter. He's actually part of the cast for the new Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt special, Kimmy versus the Reverend. And it's completely interactive. So you at home get to choose what decisions the characters make. Remember that Black Mirror interactive special? It's like that, but happier, thank God, because we can't deal with no Black Mirror right now.
Such a good way of explaining it.
Yeah. All right. Here's the trailer.
My name's Kimmy Schmidt.
I've been through a lot, but I found where I'm meant to be.
What do I do next? Frederick!
Hello, my love. There is so much to be done before our wedding, like practicing for our honeymoon.
Oh, boy. I do like kissing you.
And I you.
But planning is also fun.
What is wrong with you? Why are you making these two pasty children tongue down?
All right, so thanks for joining us, Daniel. How are you doing through quarantine, especially with you being in New York?
Good, thank you for asking. We're okay, you know, we are very lucky. I'm not, you know, I've got friends who are either quarantining, like isolating alone, or have kids that they have to homeschool. And, you know, I'm here with my girlfriend and very little responsibility right now. So it's all good.
So everyone is dealing with this whole situation differently. What are you doing to pass the time? Or are you just stuck working and doing press all day, basically?
At the moment, it's going to be a little bit more press than was for the first few weeks. But yeah, you know, we've done a lot of Lego, which is a great one for passing the time, very meditative. And I've done a lot of reading, which I'm sort of fairly happy with. I was like, the one thing I was like, you know, I don't want to get through this and like not having read a single book. I was like, I've got to like try and get done, like, okay with that. And yeah, it's all pretty good stuff. I'm watching a lot of Schitt's Creek, which I know feels like I'm just chilling for another Netflix show at the same time, but it's genuinely been bringing us a lot of joy.
Yeah, you know, like everyone is probably watching, you know, Breaking Bad or Schitt's Creek right now, you know,
like Parks and Rec, or just like things that are comfortable and lovely. And yeah.
Okay, so y'all, we are talking with the one and only Daniel Radcliffe, and I just want to go ahead and jump right into the special. What was it like joining this cast after all of this time and doing this special with them?
Yeah, I mean, I was very, honestly, very intimidated to be joining this cast of kind of incredibly funny, brilliant people who are not only all funny and brilliant, but have also been together for such a long time. Quite intimidating, but thankfully, Ellie, everyone is so like lovely and welcoming, and they were great. So I felt very lucky to be brought into a nice group. It did make me think of in the later years on Potter, we would have actors come in and they'd be really nervous, and I would always be sort of thinking, why are you nervous? We're all cool. It's like, don't worry. But now I go, oh God, yeah, it must have been terrifying to come into something that had been like up and running for 10 years before you ever got there.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So what do you do when you come into a shoot with an established cast? Do you do anything to build a bond or introduce yourself?
Not particularly. I think I just have to if I go in and I'm thinking like, got to be friends with everyone, then that will just like screw my mind up so massively. So I think I just try and go in, and there's never a day when I get onto set where I'm like not really, where I don't care about knowing my lines. But like, I feel like when you're coming in something like this and there is a lot of dialogue and a lot of, you know, that was one thing that I was like, I am going to be so on top of it that I will not be the thing that slows this down, the new guy that like comes in and screws it up. So I was pretty conscious of that. But yeah, as I said, luckily everyone was very, very welcoming.
We're here with Daniel Radcliffe talking all about Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt's new interactive special on Netflix. And Daniel, I feel like you probably know this by now, but I'm a huge fan of your career. Harry Potter is something I grew up with. But I would love to know, what brought you to this role? What jumped out at you?
Honestly, I was filming something in Australia and I got a call from my agent saying, would you have time to talk to Tina Fey and Robert Carlock? And I was like, I'll make time. And so I spoke to them and they sort of told me what they were doing with the special in terms of the interactive stuff. And then they talked to me about what my character would be. And I was just like, you know, I was over the moon. Like I did wait to read the script, but it was sort of one of those where you want to say yes to it sight unseen, because the group of people that I knew I'd be working with, you know, Tina Fey being, you know, an absolute sort of legend of comedy at this point. It was a very, very easy decision to come and play around with that group.
Okay, so we're wrapping up here, but a lot of us were fans of Choose Your Own Adventure growing up. So what was it like to film a show with so many endings? Did it get confusing?
I mean, it didn't mess with mine because I am just an actor. So I am fortunately not tasked with thinking about. So I basically just have to there's a lot more learning to be done. Like, you don't come to the set knowing one scene, you come learning like two to four versions of it. But other than that, it's script supervisor, costume and makeup, the director, the writers, the producer, they're all the people that like have to figure out the puzzle of it. And I was very glad that wasn't my job because that seemed very hard.
Well, thank you so much, Daniel, for joining us.
Yes, this was such a highlight, really. It's been amazing to chat with you.
Hope you're staying very, very safe.
Yeah, absolutely. Same to you. Stay safe.
Okay, that was so amazing. But when we get back, it doesn't end. We've got Ellie Kemper joining us. She is the star of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Don't go anywhere. So we just spoke to Daniel Radcliffe before this. How much fun was that, Ryan? Were you just freaking out? I know you're a huge fan.
Yes, I was freaking out. He is so handsome. And mm-hmm. I just wish we had a longer amount of time with him. Those junkets are so short.
I know. It's not like our usual let's go there interviews. We talk to them for like an hour. But listen, the excitement is not over yet. We've got Ellie Kemper, the star of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, joining us right now. Of course, they have this new interactive special on Netflix. Here's a clip.
My name's Kimmy Schmidt.
This is a huge opportunity.
We can do whatever we want.
I found an old library book that was checked out 5 years after I got taken.
Maybe there was another girl we didn't know about?
Do you really think so?
Okay, bye.
Cammy.
Where'd you get that?
There is another girl.
Well, girls, plural. God, Richard, shut up.
There's another bunker. I have to get to those girls.
What, Kimmy? Your wedding is in 3 days.
This is a pickle. How do we choose?
All right, so let's go ahead and welcome Ellie Kemper to the show. Let's just jump right in. I would love to know, how is quarantine treating you?
We are very lucky. We're all, my family and I are all safe and healthy and we're okay. So thank you.
So your character lived in a bunker for years away from the rest of the world. Do you think people can relate to that more right now?
Well, I mean, it's unfortunate that it's so relatable right now that mostly everyone in the world can relate to being trapped in a bunker. But yeah, that is how we feel. That is how we collectively as the world feel right now. And I'm thinking about how Kimmy would be managing the situation. And as corny as it sounds, I've been drawing a lot of strength from her because she's an expert at this. She's been through this and she got through it and we will get through it. But it's really hard in the meantime. It's pretty rough.
Right. And so I'm wondering, did you learn anything about yourself while playing Kimmy all of these years, especially at a time like this?
Well, Kimmy is such an inspiration to me because she's this resilient, tenacious young woman who went through something unimaginable and emerged from it not only intact, but like ready to take on the world and without bitterness. She sort of, what I love about Kimmy is that she doesn't blame the circumstances. She takes whatever life gives her and she figures out a way to get through it. So she's actually, yeah, she has taught me a lot and I feel inspired by her, but she's a very strong person.
We are talking to Ellie Kemper from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt on Netflix. Now, have you ever taken anything from set just for the memory?
Yes, I took, there's a needlepoint that Cindy made for Kimmy in the bunker that says it's a picture of the world. I mean, it's not an accurate map, but it's her idea of what the world looks like. And it says someday, exclamation point. I took that with me. And then for the special, the interactive special that we filmed last year, they needed it back. But I may have said that I couldn't find it. Anyway, they made a duplicate. It all worked out. I still have it.
I mean, honestly, I probably would have taken everything from the set. But what was it like to film something like this? Because this has so many different endings. And I know Netflix has done this interactive special before. But what was it like for you as an actor being involved in kind of remembering everything? Was it tough?
Yes, it was. We had an excellent script supervisor, so she kept us on track and reminded us where we were story point wise. But it was difficult just because there are so many different iterations of the story, and because the hours were long and the days were, we shot it very quickly. I think in like 22 days or something, was a lot to keep track of. But we managed.
So, do you have an ending from this interactive special that you love the most?
As long as it ends in a wedding, I feel like that's very Shakespearean. I believe all outcomes end in a wedding. So long as we arrive at that point, then that's great.
Thanks again to Ellie Kemper and Daniel Radcliffe for joining us. So fabulous. You can check out Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Kimmy versus the Reverend on Netflix now. But you know, it's really funny, Ryan, because when you do these virtual press junkets on Zoom, they can literally kick you out at any time if you like ask a bad question.
I know.
Or if you hit your time limit. I mean, it's rough out there.
It's so rough. Like, wow.
Thankfully, they didn't do that to us. You can listen back to our show if you missed any of that or anything on our podcast. Let's go there on radio.com. Just a reminder.
But coming up, y'all, we got the Tea Report in 20 minutes. You know those pop culture entertainment stories you've been missing out on.
Yes. Plus, everything you need to know about a second round of stimulus checks. I'm here for that. That's next. Well, has it been an eventful show? We want to thank again our special guests. We had Cynthia Bailey and Mike Hill from the Real Housewives of Atlanta. That was a blast. And of course, Ellie Kemper and Daniel Radcliffe. Wow, what a highlight. I never thought I would talk to Daniel. I thought he would just be a figment of my imagination.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's so funny that all of our radio.com coworkers and sister stations were freaking out.
Yes.
Like, they were asking us for the hookup.
So listen, I appreciate it because it just shows like they think we're that hooked up, like connected to Hollywood, that we have a direct in. We're like DMing with Daniel Radcliffe. Like someone was like, yeah, can you send me the email to connect with him? And we're like, we're 800 degrees separated from him. Like we're in touch with him, or not even through like the Netflix PR.
We literally talked to him for 2 seconds. Yes. I don't know what they want from us, but it was a really cool opportunity. So thank you all for listening and for the support.
And best of luck in trying to get in touch with him. All right. Coming up, though, this hour in 20 minutes, we have the Tea Report, and those stories are juicy as usual. And you want to stick around for our Yaz Queen of the Day to find out about this new mobile liquor store.
Oh, yes. I am pouring a drink right now, honey.
It's happy hour somewhere. That's for sure.
Actually, it's happy hour now, Shira. It's during our show.
Yeah, that's true. I just don't have a drink in front of me, okay? Don't tease me. Let's get into the story. Evictions and debt collection proceedings can resume in Texas next week. Warning, the Texas Supreme Court had put both on hold during the pandemic. Eviction hearings can be held as soon as Tuesday. Watch out. With orders authorizing evictions allowed starting May 26th. Now, that does not apply to certain tenants who are protected through the Federal Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, including renters in homes covered by federally backed mortgages. Just in case you're in that category, tenants covered under that have protections through August 23rd, so you have a bit more time to deal with your life. Others may be protected through local orders like those in place still in Austin, Dallas, and San Marcos. We want to give a shout out to everyone listening in Dallas on our station, Alt 103.7 FM HD3. We are sending you lots of love.
And don't forget also about the story, debt collectors can start garnishing accounts again later this month. So beware of that, you know, since the country is reopening, you never know what's going to happen at this point.
Now, House Democrats have introduced the Health and Economic Recovery Omnibus Emergency Solutions Act. A lot of words there. It's also called the HEROES Act. We'll go with that. It's a new piece of coronavirus legislation that includes a second round of stimulus payments of up to $1,200 per person. And that will likely be voted today, actually. However, even if the bill is passed in the House, it's unfortunately not likely to make it through the Republican-controlled Senate, at least in its current form. And here's what Republican Senator John Barrasso had to say about this.
We're working and the House is still at home, but Nancy Pelosi has been very active, coming out with this over 1,800-page bill, spending over $3 trillion. It's big, it's bloated, it's partisan, and it's a payoff to her liberal constituencies. What it isn't going to do is focus on the CARES Act, to take a look at what's working, why it's working, and what we can do to make it work even better. So let me state the obvious. What Nancy Pelosi is proposing will never pass the Senate.
Right. I want my $1,200 check. That's all I'm saying. Now, moving on to this story coming out of China. This is crazy. Data leaked from a university reveals that China may have hundreds of thousands of more cases of coronavirus than they publicly admitted to originally. The country had reported just around 84,000 cases. But a lot of people are very skeptical over that because of Beijing's questionable transparency. But now a database leaked from the National University of Defense Technology in the city of Changsha suggests the country could have, listen to this, this is quite the leap, 640,000 cases.
Are you kidding me? This is wild. If they are lying about that, what else are they lying about at this point?
Exactly. This is pretty scary and will change a lot. Well, that was what's trending this hour. We are moving into top stories in pop culture and entertainment news. So what is the tea?
Coming up in the T Report, Taylor Swift stopped one big music exec from going into politics. And we have all the tea about the Drag Race Season 12 finale. And let's just say it's going virtual. Don't y'all go anywhere because I'm spilling the tea up next. All right, so let's get into the T Report. You know those pop culture entertainment stories that you probably missed out on, but you need to know. So let's get started.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so Scooter Braun, if you're not familiar with him, he's actually a music exec who's known for discovering Justin Bieber, but he's also known for a public back and forth with Taylor Swift when his company bought her former record label, Big Machine Records. Well, honey, that turned out to be an entire mess, and apparently the whole experience actually shook Scooter so much that now he's rethinking some long-term plans of going into politics, which honestly is so weird.
Not weird to me. I've heard from people that have worked for him that this is something he'd been thinking about for a while. He's very much into impact, creating community movements and even global movements. We've seen him do it with a lot of his talent, and he has money, and he has hosted fundraisers for other candidates. So it's not surprising. However, I think people don't forget how much you are in the spotlight when you do this, and people will start criticizing you. And if you don't have a thick skin, you're not ready to deal with that, and you want to protect your family, it might not be the world you want to move into.
So in a new interview, and that's funny that you said that, because he actually was recently interviewed with British GQ, and he said this: recently I was attacked very publicly by someone I don't know. Someone who refused to have a conversation with me, and I wish that person nothing but the best, and hope that one day a dialogue is had, because I think it all could have been avoided with proper dialogue. He also mentioned that he really wants to be careful because he has young children, and of course he's super frustrated with the lack of leadership. I just want to know, what type of experience does he have besides being a successful businessman? I just don't think that is enough. And we've seen that as an example. That is not enough to run this country. And if he really wants to get into it, what else is he doing besides just the charity acts that he, you know, he takes place in?
And when he says running for office, he could have started locally and smaller. We don't know, but I definitely don't think he might be doing that anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't either. So let's get into some TV news. The best-selling tell-all book about The View, called Ladies Who Punch, is being adapted into a television series. So this tell-all about the behind-the-scenes drama at the ABC Daytime Talk Show will be adapted into a mini-series. Now, here's what I'm wondering. What? I wonder if it's going to start at present-day View or start with, like, the OGs.
I feel like it would need to start from the beginning, maybe? I don't know. That's an interesting question.
Yeah, because I feel like we've seen The View just literally change so much in content and, you know, host. I don't even know, like, who would play Whoopi? Who would play Meghan McCain? Who would play Joy Behar? Who would play Barbara?
No, totally. I feel like it might be modern day, or else then it would have to be just like an old school show based on, like, obviously stuff we know. Like, they'd have to go back and wear the outfits from back in the day. Like, when did The View start? In 2000 and... I'm, like, losing track of time. 2000 and what?
I think it started back in the 90s. Yes. Let me look it up. The View.
It would be fun. Listen, it would be fun to watch a throwback show of, like, news and talk in the 90s. I just think they might be more...
1997.
Wow. It might be more relevant now. They might be able to take on more relevant things happening if they did it in present time.
Well, in some other TV news as well, the news is finally out. So you remember when Ross Matthews hinted at the season 12 finale of Drag Race would look a little bit different during his interview with us? If you didn't check that out, go over to wearechannelq.com. That's where you can look it all up. But the news is finally out, because the RuPaul's Drag Race season 12 reunion, which is airing Friday, May 22nd on VH1, was recorded with 12 cast members as a virtual slumber party hosted by RuPaul, which is super cute. But then following that, a week after that, on May 29th, the crowning of the queen will be shot virtually using, and this is what they said, boundary-pushing technology to highlight the creativity of each queen. So everything is going virtual at this point.
Yeah, no surprise there. Actually, Ross almost got into trouble for sharing that with us originally.
He sure did. And that's some real tea. But I'm done spilling over here at the Tea Report. If you want to know more about any of these stories, head over to WeAreChannelQ.com and keep us followed at LGT Show.
Okay, coming up, the Hairspray cast reunion. You're not going to want to miss. I mean, me and Ryan, we are listening to this song of them all together. We were just like dancing in our chairs. It's amazing. Plus, a liquor store on wheels. Give us some of that right now. The story's making us say Yaz Queen next.
And now, live from their very own living rooms, the Actors Fun Isolation Players in You Can't Stop the Beat.
You can't stop an avalanche as it races down the hill. You can try to stop the seasons, girl, but you know you never will. And you can try to stop my dancing feet, but I just cannot stand still. Cause the world keeps spinning around and around, but my heart keeps in round and the speed of sound. I was lost till I heard the drum and I found my way. Cause you can't stop the beat.
Okay, we are getting into our Yaz Queen of the Day.
Yes, Queen.
Wow. All right. But how amazing was that rendition of You Can't Stop the Beat from Hairspray? I mean, it featured the actors from the original movie, Broadway, the remake, the NBC Live special. Were you loving it, Ryan? I was just dancing right here in my room.
That might be the best Zoom thing that we've seen so far. Yes. Because a lot of people have been doing these table reads or, you know, cast reunions. That was phenomenal. The band, everything, seeing some of your favorite faces. Oh my God, I love that.
It made my heart feel good. Well, let's move into some more Yas Queen stories today. This charity has a unique and painful way that you can help them raise money. How, you might ask? Well, they are asking you to walk barefoot over Lego bricks to raise money for children with disability.
Okay, so this is cute, but also I am reliving the anxiety that I once had when I was 7 from leaving my little Legos all over the floor and just stepping on it by accident.
I've even done that as an adult. Like, are you never around kids? I've experienced that as an adult even.
When have you been around kids recently?
I mean, during the holidays when I'm with my cousins. They're playing with toys.
See, no, that's
not my cousin's kids. Not my cousin. My cousins aren't babies. Okay. Well, this charity is called Caldwell Children, and they're going to do this May 31st. They're calling it a Lego walk. They said nearly everybody has had that experience of standing on a little plastic block of Lego, and it can really hurt, just like you said, Ryan. So they've enlisted the support of UK Firewalks, who are experts in creating mind over matter experiences where people can use their willpower to overcome physical obstacles to create ribriculous fun event for all the family. And I love that word. That's my word of the day, ribriculous.
So they are literally providing practical and emotional support while also putting people through the most emotionally strenuous thing ever. But I love this. It's a good idea. Raise some money. It's in the UK. I feel like the UK, the British charities know what they're doing over there, honey.
Yeah, very unique outside the box thinking.
For sure.
Let's move on to this happening in LA. LA's first legal liquor store on wheels is here.
Oh, now you know I love this story.
Oh yeah, that caught your attention. So I love this innovation during this time from a, you know, like a food industry type of store. Starting Monday, the Sarah's Market, which is a neighborhood institution here in Los Angeles, they're going to start taking their orders on the road with what they're calling Sarah's Market On The Go mobile liquor store. They're already getting a ton of orders, and what a fun way to keep things going during this time. And of course, we all get to support small businesses.
I mean, come on down my street. I'll spend some money. I just recently started using Instacart, and this could be my new favorite thing. They might as well just live on my street like the ice cream man.
Right? Like ding, ding, happy hour. Now, this last one goes to Kayla Methven, a lingerie designer who also happens to be the heiress to Kentucky Fried Chicken. Okay, she has money to say the least. But she has reportedly launched a program to help employ LGBTQ people who have lost their jobs during the pandemic while raising $1 million for LGBTQ charities and social organizations associated with the electronic dance music community, otherwise known as EDM. So I just think that's amazing. Kayla Methven is her name. Good on her. It's called the New Independent Contractor Program, and it's within her organization, the Peace, Love, Unity, Respect Association. So a lot of Yas Queens today. There you have it.
Yas Queen.
You can nominate someone for a Yas Queen of the Day. Just slide into our DMs at LGT Show. Coming up, comedians are coming together for a pandemic parody ad, and it's so funny. That's next on our hashtag Made My Day moment. We are ending our show with the hashtag Made My Day moment, where we share something that we found on social media that just made our day.
Yes, it's our new favorite segment that we get to close the show with.
Yeah, and of course, I'm on social media, not just on social media, but Facebook specifically, where I know Ryan tries to avoid because his mom is there. But me and his mom, we're just having our good old time on Facebook still.
Emphasis on old.
So I found these guys, Trip and Tyler, Trip with two P's, and they're a comedy duo, and they created the spoof pandemic ad in these certain times that I just found hilarious.
Times, in these certain times, one thing that's for certain is our level of certainty. You don't have to wonder what's going on. There are answers. All you need is a favorite podcast or an acquaintance that works at a hospital. In just 2 months, we have managed to collectively come together and all become experts on pandemic-related topics. Just call up a relative, ask a neighbor. They will know for certain whether or not COVID-19 was manufactured in a lab or if the United States is just interested in making money off of vaccinations.
Come on. I mean, Ryan, you got to love Facebook for this one, at least.
This was a good one. I had to give you this. This was a gem out of all that Facebook content that you're always throwing my way. This one was good. And I also think this is what SNL should be doing. They should hire these guys. Quite hilarious.
Yeah. Well, if you want to check out more of their videos, just go to their Facebook page, Trip and Tyler. They have a lot of funny videos that they've been producing during the pandemic and during their time in quarantine. And that does it for today's show. But we want to thank again our special guests for joining us. We, of course, had Ellie Kemper and Daniel Radcliffe. They were amazing.
Oh, my gosh. And then, of course, you know, yes, Cynthia Bailey and Mike Hill from Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Exactly. I know you're such a fan. So it's always fun to watch you interview people that you watch like on a daily basis, including from reality shows.
Oh, for sure. And my thing is, Cher, you need to start being fans of these people because look how amazing they are. Like, they literally just hung out with us all day. So cool.
Listen, I'm a fan. I'm just not watching Real Housewives every single day of my life.
Well, you might want to now, because if you missed out, you got to check out the full interview with Cynthia Bailey and Mike Hill, because they actually promised to hook Shira up on their new dating show.
Yeah, listen, I'm down for the cause. I'll be on a reality show, on a dating show. Might as well. Nothing to lose at this point. And you can listen to all of that on our podcast. Just go to the radio.com app and search Let's Go There and subscribe so you're notified when we post new episodes. Next week is going to be an amazing week. We've got JoJo, the musician, joining us.
I am such a huge fan. Again, literally so excited. I feel like this show is just making my dreams come true. It's like Oprah giving away cars.
Yeah, but not. By the way, I love how I said JoJo the musician, because, you know, people might have thought we were talking about JoJo Siwa, the teen star.
No one would have thought that. You're the only one obsessed with teenagers.
And we're talking about why we're all horny. That's also on Monday show with our favorite Dr. Josh Klapo.
Balance. That's what that is. It's called balance.
Exactly. It's all about balance here on Let's Go There. We are sending you love and light.
And honey, remember to slay.
Have a great weekend, you guys.
Bye.